Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. Today's episode, Freaky Friday. I'm good with the treats, but better with the tricks. Ella talks Halloween for adults. And now, here's your host.
Enchanted Friday, my enchanted beast. How are you? I am excited to be here. I am also very apologetic because this post is hecka late, but I'm sure you'll forgive me. It's been a crazy, crazy week. So, it's time to get right into it, right? It's Freaky Friday, my favorite recording day, right? And my topic is I'm good with the treats, but I'm better with the tricks. Guys, I was stumped. I had no idea what I was going to do for today's episode. And I went on Instagram Live trying to figure stuff out. I was like, hey, anybody out there got any suggestions for me? And then I just started talking through some stuff and I came up with the whole trick or treat thing. I mean, how great is October, right? If for nothing else, the fall comes in. Well, in South Carolina, it takes a hurricane to get cool weather, but still, it's my favorite season. And the greatest thing about October is October 31st, Halloween. Now, of course, we all know why it's so amazing for the kids. They get to dress up and they get to go trick-or-treating and they get lots and lots and lots and lots of candy, right? And then we, as the adults, we have to go through and sort lots and lots and lots of candy. And then we have to figure out a way to somehow remove said candy from our house so that we don't have ginormous dental bills. So Halloween isn't as fun for us adults as it is for the kids. Our normal Halloween looks something like this, right? Porch light on, because you have to let the kiddies know that you are giving out candy, right? You have a couple of big bowls of, you know, bite-sized candies that you're giving out if you're not, you know, the witch in your neighborhood and you're giving out toothpaste and toothbrushes. You hear the doorbell, ding dong, and you're probably sitting either outside or you are sitting by the front door, right? And you open the door and they say, trick or treat! And they're all smiles and they all look so cute and you comment on all of their costumes and you give them all a couple of pieces of candy each. You wait till the adults on the street and then wash, rinse, repeat until you're out of candy and you turn your porch light off. That's the normal Halloween fare for most of us adults, especially us women, because usually if we have kids, our husbands get to go around trick-or-treating with them in our neighborhoods. At least that's how it's always worked in my house. So I said, yeah, that's a great Halloween and trick-or-treat night for the kids, but not so much for me, right? So for me, Halloween was always about being the one who gave the candy out. And when my kids were younger, I would actually dress up and like spooky Halloween witch wear. And I would put out all of my spooky Halloween fare and get the fog machine going so that I could sit outside and be the creepy old crone giving out candy. But as my kids grew up and they began to do less of the trick-or-treating and, you know, more of the whole I just want to go out and find some candy situations, Halloween took on a whole different kind of situation for me. And it lost its luster because my girls are older now, right? But I was thinking, what if my Halloween didn't look like Porch Light On, but what if my Halloween looked like this? All of my couple friends all dressed up in their sexy, sexy Halloween costumes, right? They come over, my house is lit with black lights, glow-in-the-dark stickers on my walls and my ceilings, right? And maybe white Christmas lights, or maybe red Christmas lights, just enough to give it a little bit more light, and the flameless candles, right? So it's very decadent. And the black lights make everything look really, really amazing. And what if I offered glow in the dark body paint sticks as a part of an ongoing game? So my guests wouldn't be able to say trick or treat, right? And anyone who hears them say either of those words together or separately can go and write on them with glow-in-the-dark body paint pen. Right? And what if I have a beautiful, sexy array of desserts and finger foods just for adult guests? And what if I have the most sexy music playing, not high so we're all dancing, but just enough to get people's head moving in the right direction, right? And on the way out, because it is a Halloween get together, I have bowls of tricks and treats. So we're gonna have a bowl of flavored condoms. Perhaps we could find the pumpkin spice I posted about. I'll have a bowl of edible body paint tubes. That could be fun. And then I'll have a fold of edible bondage robe, otherwise known as extremely long fizzlers. Now, what if our Halloweens could look like this, ladies? What if all the planning we did for Halloween was not for the kids in the neighborhood, but for us? For us and our adult friends. What if this is what Halloween looked like? That's the topic of my Freaky Friday. I'm good with the treats for the kids, but I'm better with the tricks for the adults. And I want to encourage my enchanted beast to get better with the tricks, because Halloween shouldn't just be for the kids. It's a great night to dress up, have fun, and treat yourself to some amazing tricks. But we have to know we deserve that, right? And we have to be confident enough to actually do it. And for that reason, I believe I have never, ever attended an adult Halloween party. I have never gotten an adult sexy costume and gone to a party and had a blast with other adults on Halloween. And I realize that it's mostly because I just haven't been comfortable enough with myself. And I haven't had enough confidence in myself. And I haven't given myself permission to enjoy something like that. And it's kind of sad, really, because I'm like 43 and I've never done that. I've never planned it. I've never been invited to one, because I've always portrayed myself as an extremely conservative, uptight kind of girl. When in truth, that's not who I am at all. And it is just in recent years that I have come to understand myself as an enchanted beast. And I'm coming to know that I would greatly enjoy doing something like that. I would love to have an adult Halloween party where it's all about the sexy. It's all about the tricks. Because A, I deserve it. B, I'm a woman. C, why the hell not, right? And I decided I would take this Freaky Friday podcast and kind of quasi plan the perfect adult Halloween gathering, adult sexy Halloween gathering. Now, if you all want to steal any and all of this, please do. And if you throw this amazing Halloween adult party, take pictures, send them to me, or post them in the comments, however you're listening, because I want to know that all of my sexy enchanted beasts out here are living their very best life, and they're doing exactly what it is they want to do, not because of, but in spite of what others expect of us, right? And no, I haven't decided if I'm going to actually do this, but God, I'm leaning really, really, really close to it because I think it'll just be a lot of fun. So the first thing I think about when I am going to plan a get together is what foods are we going to eat? And if there's a theme, then the food needs to complement the theme, right? And an adult trick-or-treat party is no different. I have to consider what my theme is and what my food should be. I want food that looks sexy, right? Because there are just certain foods you see and you're like, God, this is the sexiest dish I've ever seen in my whole life. But I also want food that's fun and a little hokey, you know, kind of suggestive, but no, not but, and slightly crass. So I want sexy food, food that looks sexy, and I want sexual food, food that's kind of crass and it'll make you laugh, but you know, you'll get it, right? So I was looking up food on my favorite planning site, Pinterest, and they had an image of an extremely beautiful bowl of pomegranate seeds. And they were just sitting in this like clear bowl with, you know, a little spoon, you could scoop a little bit. And I was like, oh my God, that's a sexy looking food. It's not sexual. Apparently it has aphrodisiac properties, but we're not trying to, you know, encourage an orgy to take place in our homes, right? No, but we want food that looks sexy. And if you've ever seen beautiful glistening pomegranate seeds, just in a bowl, nothing fancy, in a clear crystal bowl, nothing fancy, but they are so sexy. It's just something about that color, red, and it's so shiny. And then it has a little bit of cream. I don't know. It's a beautiful display. And they're healthy. It's a superfood. You get butt tons of antioxidants. I mean, that's probably why it's an aphrodisiac. You feel, you know, crazy great after you've had a couple of, right? So I'm going with the bowl of pomegranate seeds because they're gorgeous and sexy. And I don't know if it's just me, it's the writer, the creative in me, but I'm like, yeah, that makes me think definitely of some things. Interesting, wonderful things that could happen with those pomegranate seeds. Everybody loves chocolate-covered strawberries, and I'm so over them at this point in my life because for some reason, people assume that's, you know, the creme de la creme of what you can do with chocolates and strawberries. I love strawberries. I love chocolate. Well, dark chocolate. I'm not a milk chocolate girl at all. But I do love dark chocolate and I do love strawberries and I love cupcakes. So strawberry chocolate cupcakes
chocolate cupcake with the giant strawberry sitting on the top.
No, I'd like some really good, plump, macerated chopped strawberries baked into my chocolate cupcake batter. I'm not a big fan of icing, so I probably wouldn't use icing on it. But I would definitely put maybe some confectioner's sugar on the top of all that dark chocolate and maybe take one good slice of strawberry dipped in dark chocolate and place it on the top. Or maybe a trio so that it looks like a fan. Or you could get creative. And yeah, you could get creative with that strawberry, and I can almost see it becoming somewhat of a vagina. You'd have to really be an artisan. But that's the whole point of playing with your food, right? So I think that's a very sexy food. Chocolate, strawberries, white confectioner's sugar, made with really good dark cacao. Yeah, I love that. Now, I love cake balls. I'm not alone. Everybody wants to make a cake pop. I had a friend when I was teaching, and she would make these cookie balls, and they're made with Oreo cookies, cream cheese, and then she'd roll them up and, you know, freeze them, and then she'd roll them in confection of sugar, and oh my God, we didn't even know what to call them, so we called them crack balls because we would eat them like crack. And then the cake balls popped out, and everybody was like, yeah, for cake balls. And so I'm thinking, what could be cheekier than blue velvet cake balls dusted with coconut and or powdered sugar? Because then you have a beautiful platter of dusty blue balls. And so it's a little cheeky, it's a little funny, and it's still sticking with their theme. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And blue velvet cake is just the same as red velvet cake, only it's blue. And that would be cute for your adult party. Frozen chocolate covered bananas with the base dipped in nuts. How good is that? Not just for your adult party, but shoot, just because it's an amazing treat, right? But that would be cute. And you could have, I don't know, put them on a stick and stick them in a pot. You'd have a big, giant pot of chocolate-covered frozen bananas with nuts at the base. Oh, that would make such an amazing visual. I mean, it screams phallic, number one, and then the nuts around the bottom. Of course, you get the whole picture, but it's also an amazingly wonderful treat. It is a fun and sexy treat, and it's also sexual. So food, very important. You see, I don't have any real food here. It's all about treats, right? Oh my gosh, I saw this candy bar, not a candy bar like a Heath bar, but a candy bar like a bunch of jars of different candies, right? And it was called Bite, Blow, Suck Candy Bar. So there were jars and bowls of candies that you could actually bite. And then there were jars and bowls of candy that you could actually blow, right? And then there were jars and bowls of candy that you could actually suck. Bite, blow, suck. Candy bar. Again, you get your treats in there, right? But the trick comes with the placing and the name of the bar. And you have your little placard that says, these candies are for biting. Oh my gosh, I thought that's so cute. And I would definitely not use clear jars and bowls. I'd do something maybe in a smoky black. And red if I was going for something really, really hot. But it was really cute, and I loved the words, right? Because that is where the trick comes in. And I also saw something, and I've pinned a lot of this on my Pinterest board in Enchanted
Beast podcast, Freaky Fun Friday. So if you're interested in trying any of this for your own adult Halloween party, then it's there. Because I really am kind of quasi-planning to do something like this. There are suck and swallow Jell-O shots. Now, these are a little bit out there, and I think they're cute. Like, I would love to see something like this, you know, at a party for adults. I would love to have something like this at a party for adults. But the Jell-O shots, obviously made with some type of alcohol. I don't drink alcohol, so I would probably make it with some type of self-serve flavored something. Maybe have non-alcoholic and alcoholic ones. But they are Jell-O shots that are made in non-lubricated condoms. New condoms, not used condoms, because that's disgusting. But just new condoms, non-lubricated. So you make the Jell-O mix, you put it in the condom, you tie the condom off at the top, and then you put them all in the refrigerator and let them cure. And so you have these suck and swallow Jell-O shots. And I just absolutely love that idea. I love the concept. I love the visual of it because it's very beautiful, especially if you get like colored condoms or even if you get the clear, you know, the normal condoms, I guess, you still have a variety of colors with your Jell-O shots. So I thought, oh my gosh, that would be so absolutely cute. And then to see your friends, all of these professional people that you hang out with, right? All of them who are so upstanding and all of this, and to see them sucking on a Jell-O shot that is encased in a condom. OMFMG, how much fun? How much fun is that? Like, no pictures, please, because we cannot have this on Instagram or Twitter. No one's posting this on your Facebook page, right? But I love the suck and swallow Jell-O shots. Now, this might be a little too much as well, but oh, it was so cute. It was so cute. I think this is somebody telling me that my laundry's done. Gosh, everything is happening today. But again, this might be a little too much, but it's so cute. You guys know the green grapes, right? The seedless green grapes. Well, I saw them, they were kind of stuck on a skewer, maybe 5 grapes per skewer, and they were just kind of laid on a white plate. And beside the plate on a placard, it said, anal grape beads. Now, again, I'm kind of cheeky that way. I thought it was the cutest thing I'd ever seen because they did kind of look like a beginner string of anal beads, but also they're yummy frozen grapes. And you really can't go wrong with frozen grapes ever. But again, sticking with the theme of our adult sexy Halloween party, they would be so amazing beside our suck and swallow Jell-O shots, right? Again, if it's not your thing, don't do it. But I'm all for pushing boundaries. I'm all for having people over and then asking them to come out of their comfort zones and just embrace the now. I think it'd be great conversation starters. I think people will look a little bit askew the first time somebody picks up the anal grape beads and actually starts to eat them. And if your friends are like, my friends, then what you're going to have is a good time, hopefully. So we have some sexy foods, right? And I'll get to some sexy drinks later. Again, I don't drink alcohol, and that's just my personal preference. But I don't think an adult Halloween party would be as great without the alcohol, right? So there'd have to be the alcohol option and, of course, the non-alcohol option, because why not? You can't have an adult party without games. And I don't know. I kind of like having games that are
structured and it gives us something to do, because the whole mingling thing, people end up talking about work and then they start complaining about their kids and then it becomes an adult bitch party. I want an adult Halloween party that's all about the fun. And so I remember planning parties for my children, and I made sure to always have structured activities for them because I didn't want a bunch of kids sitting in my house looking at me like, what are we going to do next? Right? Same with adults. I don't want a bunch of adults milling around my house trying to figure out what are we going to do next. Okay, so games, good party games, good naughty party games. I went back to my research site. Pinterest has it all for my needs at this point, right? Naughty Pictionary, that's a given. Who doesn't love a good Pictionary game? And can you imagine all the crazy ideas you and your friends can come up with for playing Naughty Pictionary? Holy cow. And most people can't draw. Be sure to have alcohol available for those who want to drink, because it's just going to be funny. Now, just like Naughty Pictionary, this is a classic, and we put a naughty in front of it. Charades. Oh my gosh. So you have people acting out all these crazy, crazy, crazy things. You could hit titles from romance novels. Oh yes. I'm like getting all of this inspiration. You can get lyrics from songs. Ooh, it's endless. There's a cornucopia of opportunities for naughty charades, right? Now, this is actually a game you can purchase, and I have never heard of it before, but I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. It's XXXopoly or Triple Xopoly, right? And it really is a board game, and you can buy it. I put the pin on my Pinterest if you're interested in it, because it looked pretty fun. But again, you know, it might be a little too structured. Because, and maybe something better for a more intimate gathering than, say, a larger Halloween party gathering. But it looks fun. Maybe it's something you get for just you and your boo. Right? Maybe it's the game you have as a prize. Oh, now see, I like that. I am thinking this would be the game to buy. You can give as a parting gift. For whoever, you know, has the most glow-in-the-dark paint on them, they get the party gift because they couldn't stop saying trick or treat. Yeah, and they could get this game into something they could play with their boo and have their own little private adult Halloween situation. I like that idea, but the game did look interesting. Cards Against Humanity, oh my God, listen. You don't have to buy this game at all. You can just type in Cards Against Humanity on your Google and you can download the PDF. And then you get some really good cardstock and you print them off, cut them, take them, have them laminated if you don't have your own laminating machine. And you have the funniest game in the universe. And this is definitely something you want to do with a large group. Cards Against Humanity, the whole point, to show you how very little humanity you really have. And the things you end up saying, oh my God, you'll get to know your friends in a way you may not really want to know them, but it will be a lot of fun, especially if you have people who have been drinking and you haven't been drinking. That's when drunk people are extremely funny. Adults Spin the Bottle. Now, this is a drinking game and it looks like a lot of fun. You basically have a circle table or space, right? And you put little shot glasses with lots of different libations in them. And I think it could be played with both non-alcoholic and alcoholic drinks. Of course, it would be cool if you had both non-alcoholic and alcoholic drinks and shot glasses and no one knew which was which. That would be great, I think. And since it's a Halloween situation, it would also probably be pretty cool if you had a mixture of non-alcoholic, alcoholic beverages, and really gross concoctions that you have no idea what it is. It's kind of like Bean Boozled with drinks, right? I love that idea. So, we have the adult spin the bottle. Oh, and this is another drinking game. It's called Drink If. It's kind of like the game, you know, Have You Ever? Where you just kind of raise your hand or whatever the case is. But this is called Drink If. And again, you can just go to Google and type it in, drinking game, Drink If. And there are bunches of little cards with all of these weird scenarios on them. And you can just print them out and play the game. So again, you have your shot glasses lined up with whatever you're going to have in it. You can do the same kind of Bean Boozled-like activity. Drink if, you know, you ever saw your mom and dad and you did a coitus interruptus, right? So, you know, that's gross, but you're drinking because who wants to remember that anyway? So that would be a really, really cute game. And then I saw one on Pinterest called Sculpt the Cucumber. Yeah, you can guess exactly where that's going to go. Make sure if you're going to do Sculpt the Cucumber that you do it after you've played at least one drinking game because it will be crazy. And a cucumber is perfect because you can actually just do it with a plastic butter knife, right? So we're not going to maim anyone. No one's going to lose a finger. You know, just take the peel off, I guess. I don't know. But sculpt the cucumber. And I would definitely add in a blindfold, maybe handcuff each couple to each other. And they have to sculpt the cucumber together. See what I'm saying? This is me talking myself through some really fun adult activities for the adult Halloween party, right? I'm good with the treats for the kids, but I'm so much better with the tricks for the adults. So I like the sculpt the cucumber activity, but I'm sure you could sculpt any fleshy fruit or vegetable and probably have a lot of fun. And it doesn't just have to be a phallic item because you can find something that's, you know, a little more breast oriented, or you could look at something that is going to be less obviously sexy or erogenous, right? So sculpt an ear because that's an erogenous zone for most people, right? Or sculpt a foot because all your nerves go down there anyway. So you can really be creative when you're thinking about what you're going to have your guests sculpt and how they're going to actually have to do it. So those were just a little bit of naughty games, naughty tricks that you could have at your adult Halloween party and make sure your guests are having a good time, right? And probably it would be important that you did have your non-alcoholic beverages marked by something, right? Especially if people are like me and can't drink alcohol because of medications and interactions that would be very harmful. So we have sexy food, we have sexy naughty games, right? We have our sexy setting and it looks amazing, but we also have to have our sexy music playing in the background. Right? Because we're not trying to dance. I'm 43. I'm not trying to, you know, twerk on my husband at 43. But I do want to set a very, very sexy tone for this adult trick-or-treat soiree. So I'm back on Pinterest and I say, give me a sexy playlist. And so I've pinned two sexy playlists on my Pinterest board. But as I was looking through them, I was like, I don't know any of these songs. And the sites that they sent me to, one was from BuzzFeed, I think. And they have the YouTube link so you can actually listen to the songs if you're not quite familiar with them. But
I just put them on my Pinterest board. I said I'd go back and listen to a few and see if they were hot to try. But I decided, because I wanted to share some of my favorite sexy songs and why and how they made my list, I would just do my own thing, because why not, right? So the number one sexy song that would have to be playing in the background of my adult trick-or-treat soiree is My Favorite Fantasy by Damien Rice. Listen, let me stop here. It really doesn't matter what you play by Damien Rice, in all honesty, right? Because this man, his voice, his lyrics, the way he delivers his music, it literally is like musical porn. It's something about his voice. But this specific song, Favorite Fantasy, holy cow, it's perfect. I love the words. I love the phraseology that he has. And his voice in this song is so, it is so guttural. You know, he has a very kind of almost, it's between a growl and a whine. And I don't know how he makes that happen, but God bless Damien Rice, because he is an Irish god of sexual music. So any Damien Rice is probably going to work for you. But Favorite Fantasy, My Favorite Faded Fantasy, is one of my favorite songs by him. My second song that made the list was I Won't Give Up by Jason Mraz. I love Jason Mraz. He also has a song called Butterfly, and it's a little upbeat. But when you listen to it, you're like, oh, hey, Jason, okay. Yes, I can. I'm your pole and all you're wearing is your shoes. Okay, Jason, I hear you. So that's a really great song, too. And it has a little, I don't know, samba beat to it, right? So you want to dance to it. But this song, I Won't Give Up, everybody knows it. It's like so sweet. And I don't even know how sexy it is, but I'm going to tell you why it made my list. I read a series of books about 2 years ago, and this song featured prominently in it. There was a young girl who had been brutally raped as a teenager, and she swore off sex until she got married. And she runs into this, you know, unattainable, smoldering, hot, sexy actor in New York, and he is enamored with her, like completely enamored with her. And, you know, he realizes that she's not having sex with him. She tells him it's not happening. Not until I'm married. Doesn't tell him why, but this is just how it's going to be. And it turns out that he's like a dom, and he and his super rich actor and producer friends own several private BDSM clubs all over the country. And so he tries to hide all of this from her because he's fallen in love with her. And eventually she does give in, but, you know, it's at a cost. And so this song played very prominently in their relationship. And I just thought, I mean, they have the sexiest relationship. It was beautiful. So I love this song. It makes me think of that book. And I cannot think of the name of the series of this book. And it's driving me crazy. So if I blurt something out that seems not to make any sense, please know that I am talking about the name of this book series. So that's my number two song. James Blake, this British guy, I'm sure people have heard of him. I'm sure you guys know who James Blake is. He's a freaking freak. I don't know what else to say. He is so talented. His musical ability is like, you know, bar none. But then his voice, oh Jesus, it's like vocal orgasm, I think. That's the only thing I can say, because it is so amazingly perfect. He has such a wide range. He has a very low register that vibrates on some frequency that should probably not be heard by mere mortals, right? And then he has a higher register that just makes you smile and makes you feel almost effervescent. Like you can just float away like the bubbles in the champagne that you love drinking. And so there are not many songs of his that I haven't heard and that I haven't fallen in love with. But there are two songs that I think are extremely sexy. The first song I ever heard by him was Retrograde. And my daughter has introduced me to him through this song because I think it was in the Gabby Douglas story, the movie. I wasn't thinking about, you know, rising up and being the best I could be when I listened to that song. not at all. That's not the thoughts that came through my mind when I listened to Retrograde. So it's extremely sexy. And I have another song of his that I absolutely love, and it's called Love Me Whatever Way. And it's just so beautiful. It's so poignant and it's so slow, but I don't know. Everything about that song is sexy to me. Colors by an artist named Amos Lee. And oh my gosh, it's so weird, but Amos Lee actually graduated from the University of South Carolina and the spring of 1999 and with a degree in English. And I graduated from the University of South Carolina in the summer of 1999 with a degree in English. And no, I don't know him. He doesn't know me, but 6 degrees of separation, we basically dated, right? That's what I'm going to say. But he has a really nice kind of down home folksy sound, but his voice is it's a little bit of twang somewhere in there too, but not a lot. He's great and a wonderful songwriter. So the song Colors is really pretty and soft, and it's more intimate than sexy, but intimacy and sex are like, you know, kissing cousins. So they make sense to be linked together. And his work is very intimate, which I love. Now, everybody knows Jill Scott. She wrote the song and performs the song, He Loves Me. But Liana LaHavas, she did a cover of this song. And holy cow, it is probably one of the sexiest covers I've heard in a very long time. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. And I absolutely love listening to it because she has this break in her voice when she's singing. And it's that break that makes the song so special for me. As LaHavas sings it, there's a vulnerability there that I think Jill Scott has power, and she sings this song and you feel powerful when you listen to it, right? But when LaHavas sings this song, it is a song of vulnerability, a song of this man loves me so much. He has the power to break me. And his love for me gives me the power to break him. And again, it's that intimacy factor that I love when LaHavas sings this. And it's why it made my list, her version of it. There's another artist that I can't even not put on my list. His name's Jordan Reiki, and he's from New Zealand. This guy is crazy talented. I actually found him when I was like jonesing on on James Blake. He did a cover of Retrograde, and I was just like glued to my computer screen because I was looking at YouTube. And I think that's why he made my list. His songs are amazing. His voice is killer. The fact that he plays the piano and the keys, plus, but there's something about watching him perform his music. It's like Tori Amos, right? Tori Amos's voice is killer. Her ability to play the piano is like, okay, don't even talk about that. But watching her play and sing, you almost feel like you shouldn't look at it. You feel like a voyeur because it's so sensual and it's so intimate. She's so closely connected with her music. That's how it is for Jordan Reiki and anything he sings. But this song, Lost Myself, is just very sexy. And I absolutely love the way his voice sounds on it. two songs by one of my favorite singers who unfortunately has passed away, Eva Cassidy, Autumn Leaves and Fields of Gold. They're obviously covers. And the songs by themselves are probably not all that sexy. They're kind of sad, really. You know, Autumn Leaves, pretty sad. Fields of Gold, pretty sad. But I'm going to tell you why they made my list. 50 Shades of Grey. I know. I'm in love with Christian Grey, even though he's insane. And even though he does not necessarily engage in proper protocol for BDSM, I don't care. I am still in love with him. He's the most messed up dude in a book I've ever seen. But I love him, right? I love him. And so he talked about Eva Cassidy, or, you know, his character. Look, I say it like he's a real person, but his character spoke of Eva Cassidy when he and Anna were driving down to the docks to get on his boat, the Grace, right? And every time I hear her, I'm just like, oh, Christian, you poor messed up soul. I just feel so bad for you. And I do. But I can't deny the fact that E.L. James wrote an extremely sexy character and an oddly sexual character. And so when I hear these two songs by Eva Cassidy, I associate them with Christian Grey, whom I associate with dark sexuality. And therefore, the sadness in these songs about love and loss become sexy to me. Again, that's why I wanted to share, you know, my reasonings for everything. Now, there's a song by a new person I kind of discovered. Her name is Candace Springs, and she's awesome. The song is called Breakdown. I had the song playing on repeat when I was writing an extremely intense sex scene between my protagonist and my heroine, right? And my hero, John and Vivian in book two, Amjan Mirar, in my Broken Soul series. And the song came on and I just started writing the scene, and it was so perfect. Everything about the song was perfect. The beat, the rhythm, her voice, the words, the story it told, it was perfect. And so I just had it on repeat for like 20 minutes, because it really did help me write an intense sex scene, a scene that kind of broke my heart to write, but it was so, 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 so perfect. And that's why it made the list, because it needed to be there. Now, you could probably tell that I'm kind of eclectic in my music, and I listen to anything that speaks to me. But I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan. Like crazy, crazy, huge Led Zeppelin fan. And the sexiest song I've heard in my whole entire life is Stairway to Heaven. It's something about his voice. It's something about the story. It's something about the guitar and how it is whining and crying. And it's perfect. And it's long. It's like, I got a 13-minute version of it. I was like, yes. That's like, yes, we need that song on the sexy playlist. So yeah, check that out, definitely. Now here are my two outliers, because my novel, the series is set from the early 90s, and it'll come full circle into modern day 2018, 2019. But right now I'm writing in the early 2000s, like 2000, right? And so I have all these like older songs on playlists that I listen to, and songs I haven't heard in years because I don't really listen to that type of music anymore. But this song came on by Genuine called Pony. And I'm not even going to front. I was like, oh my God. I don't know if I didn't appreciate it back then because I was young and naive, or if I have a brand new appreciation for it now because I write romance and erotica, but holy cow, that is an extremely sexy song. And it's not just
The words. Okay, yeah, the words are extremely sexy. Well, no, the words are sexual, but it's the music. That's the sexy thing. It's like, bow, 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 bow. And it's just that very nice rhythm, but it's sexy. It's so sexy. I was like sitting at my workstation and I was typing away, writing, but I was like dancing in my seat like a hooker or a stripper. And I was like, oh my God, it's so sexy. It's a great song. So it definitely made the list. Have a little pony going on, right? And then this song, I don't even want to have it on my list, but I cannot deny how very sexy it is. I'm going to, before I say what song it is, I am going to have to say this. I in no way condone the sexual practices of Robert Kelly. I am disgusted and appalled by his behavior, by his approach to finding love. I am disappointed that a man who is so extremely talented and who's been given so much does not seek help for his sickness. And so please understand when I say this, I am not in support of R. Kelly by any stroke of imagination, but I cannot deny his talent. I cannot deny his musical ability to write and craft a song that makes you think about only one thing. That's it. It makes you think about only one thing. So I would be remiss if I didn't have this song on my playlist for my sexy trick-or-treat adult party. But I am not supporting this man and his personal endeavors. But I am a lover of music, and this music is sexy, and this music would be on my playlist. Having said that, the last song that I'm going to share with you is Bump and Grind by R. Kelly. Again, it popped up on my playlist because I was listening to like all 90s, right, 2000s. I hadn't heard it in forever because I don't listen to that kind of music anymore. My tastes have changed, but Jesus Christ, I was like, wait, what? Wait, when was I listening to this? Gosh, I can't believe I didn't have, you know, bunches of babies. If this is the music I was listening to, because it is extremely sexy. The music is sexy. His voice, good Lord. He has that kind of, it's almost gospel. So it sounds like he's worshiping the idea of sex. And then it's soul and pain and anticipation. Everything about this song is sexy. So I absolutely would have to put that on my playlist. So I have music, I have food, I have games, I have tricks, I have goodies for everybody. And, you know, I could go in and say there's some definite benefits to doing something like this for yourself and for your friends and for your community, ladies. And it's a wonderful way to engage both your sacral and your root chakra so you can become grounded and then you can elevate yourself and your community. But that's not it. I don't know what the benefits are. I don't even care what the benefits are. What I care about is that we, as women, we give ourselves permission to enjoy time with our friends, to enjoy time with people we want to spend time with. We give ourselves permission to be sexy and sexual, not just in the confines of our bedrooms with our partners. But no, we give ourselves permission to be sexy and sexual everywhere we go because all of our sexy energy creates creative energy, which creates the life we want to have. So we have a right to explore that, a right to indulge in that aspect of who we are
And we have a right to share it with people. I'm not advocating orgies here. I'm not trying to get you and your best friend to switch up partners. Gross. No, not for me. It's not for me. It might work for some people. And if it does, if that's your thing, then you're going to have a really, really great Halloween party. But no, I just want us as women to embrace what enchants us. And our sexuality is extremely enchanting. And why not be proud of that? Why not celebrate that? And why not share that with friends? So instead of being a passive candy hander outer on October 31st, ask your beast if she wants to dress up in a sexy costume and hang out with other beasts, enjoying herself, giving everyone a nice, enchanting night of tricks and treats, right? I will talk with you guys on Monday Motivation, and we're moving to the solar plexus and our chakra series. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I hope that you continue to embrace yourself, embrace your beast. And thank you for joining me in the Enchanted Forest. I appreciate it. Bye.
This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining. And remember, stay enchanted.